Hallelujah means praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. To him be all the glory. Amen means so be it. That's how I want it to be. Back in Galatians 6, I mentioned to you the last time that we were in Galatians that the Apostle Paul very, very clearly set forth in this letter what it is. He took many chapters clearly laying out what it is that makes a sinner a child of God. Very, very clearly. And it is not that sinner's works. He very, very clearly stated that. Salvation comes by grace alone. Do you ever get tired of hearing that? Salvation is by grace alone. Grace alone. We are born again by the blood and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Born again. It's God's doing. Just like we had nothing to do with our birth. We had nothing to do with our birth. It's all of God. It's all of God, every bit of it. Now that he has established grace alone, he has some things to say to those who have received grace alone. He said in chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now let's start right here. If a brother is overtaken in a fault, if we're overtaken in a fault, right here, if you have a sinner reference in your Bible, if says although. It means although a man be overtaken in a fault. There is not a soul in this room that has not been overtaken in a fault. There's not a soul in this room. I mean a true fault. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we forget that from time to time. We forget that. But the fact of the matter is all have sinned. Our Lord said, "He that is without offense, let him cast the first stone." Whatever it is we're talking about. He that is without offense, let him cast the first stone. Man sinned in the garden. Man sins every day. He sins every day. So how could any of us point the finger at any of us? Really? How could any of us point the finger at any of us? Considering Christ. That's what all of this is based on. Considering Christ, who the Scripture calls our elder brother, the one who is spiritual, the one who possesses the Spirit. It's His Spirit. We were overtaken in a fault, and He restored us, didn't He? We were absolutely overtaken in a fault. Couldn't hide it. I mean, we were flat out and out in the open, overtaken in a fault, and He restored us. We lost it all. We had it. Okay, we had it. We were sitting with the saints of God, glory. And we lost it all. And He restored us, didn't He? He restored us. And He did that in the spirit of meekness. He humbled Himself all the way down to the grave. If He did that for us, what He's saying is we need to do it for each other. And that's not just a figure of speech. That's not just a good idea. That's something that we as His children, as His followers, as believers on Him, need to do. If He did that for us, we need to do it for each other. He said, this is what He said, and this really, it was emphasized to me a little bit more this time, but this is what He said. Take My yoke upon you. Take it upon you. Take My yoke. Take what I have done myself upon you. He said, learn of Me. What I have done for you, do it for each other. He said, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. He did this in the spirit of meekness. He saved us in the spirit of meekness. And because of that, the commandment is in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, you who God has done something for, you who have personally experienced the gospel of grace, you who can say, I was the one at fault, and He restored me. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, to emphasize this, let me contrast the attitude of a man who's not spiritual. He said, if a man is spiritual, then you restore your brother in meekness. Now, the contrasting attitude of a man who is not spiritual, this is what he says. I'm done with you. You ever had that man rise up? You know, chapter 5 is when he was talking about that old man and that new man, two natures, warring in here. That old man, that's what he says. I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I see you fallen. You'll be fine with me if you just stay there. Let me shove you on that way. Done. That is exactly what this flesh naturally leans to. That's exactly what the flesh naturally wants, especially if the fault is against me. Especially. But if a man is spiritual, if a person possesses that new nature, if God's Spirit has come, the Spirit of Christ, His Spirit will see a brother who has fallen, and His Spirit will say, restore him. Restore him. Restore him, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore means, the word means, repair. That's what it means, repair. Somebody comes across an old piece of furniture in an antique store. And it's, you know, it's worn out, it's faded, it's scratched, it's dented, it's broken. So he buys it, he takes it home. And somebody says, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to restore it. I'm going to restore it. He said, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, restore him. Restore him. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon had to say about this verse. He broke it down into different lines. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, if he travels so slowly that his faults catch up to him and knock him down. We are all fleeing to Christ, aren't we? We're all fleeing to Christ. Our faults happen every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And we're just trying to get to Christ. We're running to Christ. But if a brother is not running to Christ fast enough, and his faults, Spurgeon said, if he travels so slowly that his faults catch up to him and knock him down, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. He said, set his bones for him if they have broken. Put him in his proper place again. Make a splint for him. Make a cast for him. Care for him. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. He said, what would you wish others to do to you if you were in the position of this fallen one? The apostle did not say, considering thyself, lest thou also be overtaken in a fault. He didn't say that. He said, lest thou also be tempted. As much as to say, the temptation only needs to come to you, and you will yield to it. And that is so true. If a brother's overtaken in a fault, and we have no heart to restore him, the temptation only needs to come to us, and we will yield to it. We will. But for the grace of God, there go any of us. May God remind me of that. But for the grace of God, there go any of us. And if we restore a brother when he needs it, he'll restore us when we need it. We will need it. Verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, that's exactly what Christ did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. He bore our burden, didn't he? He carried our sorrow. He acquainted himself with our grief. And in doing that, he fulfilled the law of God. Now we in turn are commanded to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Look back at chapter 5, verse 14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love beareth all things. Love bears all things. That's what love does. That's what it does. Love bears all things. Spurgeon said, help your brethren. If they have a heavier burden than they can bear, try to put your shoulder beneath their load and so lighten it for them. May God give us a heart to seek each other's burdens and be a help in whatever way we can. May God give us a heart to truly care for each other, set each other, support each other, bear one another's burdens. One man said, don't desert. You know, problems will come. We're all flesh, and they will come, some more severe than others, and there will be times when we need this instruction. He said, don't desert. He said, don't withdraw fellowship. Don't condemn. Bear. Bear. Look with me at John 13. John 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. By this right here shall all men know that I have come to you. I have done something for you. I've done an operation on your heart. I chose you. You belong to me. You follow me. This is how all men are going to know. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Love bears all things. It just does. Go with me back to Galatians 6. Verse 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, do you know what that verse does not say? It does not say, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth others. It doesn't say that. It does not say that. Usually other people can see us for what we are. Usually. Other people can see us for exactly what we are. If we think we're something when we're nothing, we are not deceiving anybody else. Other people can see right through us, but we cannot see through our own selves. We just can't. For that reason, may God in mercy, may He bring us to a state of humility. May He convince us that man at his best state is altogether vanity. Altogether. That's what will make us want to help a brother in need. That's what will make us want to bear each other's burdens. But for the grace of God, there go I. There, He needs me, I need Him. In my flesh dwells no good thing. So I shouldn't expect too much more out of anybody else's flesh. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 4. First Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Everything that I am, everything that I have, every bit of it is owed to God. We just sang, all to Him I owe. All to Him I owe. If He leaves me to myself, I am nothing, I'll have nothing. Where would I be outside of the mercy and grace of God? Where would I be? Where would I be had God not restored me? Where would I be had Christ not borne my burden? I'd be crushed under it. That's where I'd be. I'd be crushed under it. I owe it all to Him, every bit of it. Back in Galatians 6, verse 4 says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." There's a song that says, "Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If God has enabled us to do that, God has to cause a sinner to do that. I was thinking on all this, and in the sad state of poor souls in religion is they cannot let go of their burden. You know, Pilgrim had that burden on his back, and he said, if you get to the foot of that cross, you look up and your burden will fall off. They cannot let go of that burden. They carry that burden around with them everywhere they go. And it takes the grace of God to come to a sinner and show him that Christ has borne the burden. And if the Lord has done that, if He has revealed that to a person, if He gives that sinner faith in Christ, then the burden of sin is not ours to bear. He'll reveal to that person that the burden of sin is not ours to bear. I believe He's revealed that to us. I believe we've been freed from that. I believe that has fallen off of us. The burden of sin is not mine to bear. He bore it, right? But with that being said, there is a burden that every single child carries because of the burden that he bore for us, because of the fact that he bore that sin for us. There's a burden of gratitude. There's a burden of thanks that we carry to him, isn't it? There's a burden of service and a burden of obedience that every single child carries. That's exactly why Paul is writing what he's writing. There's a burden for men's souls. There's a burden for others' souls, our own souls and the souls of others. Our Lord said, "To whom much is given, much is required." And we carry a burden. The Lord has given us and given to us and given to us. And we carry a burden for the souls of others. There's a burden of this word. All of those Old Testament prophets wrote about the burden of the word. I enter into that. I feel it. You do too. You want others to come to this gospel. You want others to hear this message. You want others to bow the knee. You beg God to show mercy. That's the burden that we carry. Every single child carries it. But it's a burden that we gladly carry, don't we? Gladly. We're honored to carry the burden. And the reason is because of everything he's carried for us. We're happy, happy to serve him. We want to serve him. We do. When God goes to work on a heart, that heart does not say, "I would really prefer it if you would serve him for me." That heart says, "I want to serve him. I want to serve him. I won't be happy until I do. I love him. I love him." Now, verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word," the one who the Lord has taught the gospel to by sitting under the preaching of the truth, the one who's had Christ revealed to him, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto." The word communicate means share with, support, provide for, care for. "Him that teacheth in all good things." He's saying support and provide for the one that teaches you in all good things. Now, we come across verses from time to time that talk about giving. The last time, though, that we talked about specifically supporting the pastor was when we were going through 1 Corinthians in our Bible study. It's been a while, been a little while. And we came to that verse of Scripture that says, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." He had just told them in that portion there that the whole reason the Lord ordained a tithe, the reason he started 10%, was to support the Levites, 10% of everything. If you had corn, they needed some corn too. If you had lettuce, they needed lettuce too. If you had spices, they needed spices too. Every good thing. All right? When we came to that verse, you all had just bought me an automobile. And it was so clear and it was so easy for me to say, "You are doing exactly what he is telling you to do." Exactly what he's telling you to do. He said, "Communicate unto." All right, well, here we are again. Here's the next time. Verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Paul is telling them, take care of the one who teaches you. Love him, care for him, support him, communicate unto him. I was informed last Wednesday night after the service that you all have purposed in your heart to relieve me of another financial obligation. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. I'm so humbled. I'm just grateful. I'm just so, so grateful. I can't describe all the reasons why. I'm thankful for my family. But I'm thankful for my family. It is such a good sign that God is moving on the hearts of His people. And you're doing it. You're doing it. Just like I said last time, I say it again. This is talking about being kind and good and helping and being followers of Christ and obeyers of what He's told us to do. And I am so encouraged by what I see the Lord doing. God is doing it. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. Every single thing that He has mentioned up to this point, if God would enable us to do it, all glory and praise be unto Him. Isn't that right? It's God which works in us to do all of these things. And I'm so grateful for the fact that when the Lord moves on hearts, it's a sign that He will continue to make His grace grow. That's what it is. And I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Him. I want you to know that. I sincerely want you to know that. And I do believe He will cause it to grow. I believe He will cause His grace to grow. His goodness, and here's why. He said in verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If a man sows to wealth, he'll reap wealth. And you all need to go do what you need to do. You know, to support the ministry and do the things you're doing. You're called to go to work. Don't feel guilty for that. But if a man sows to the world in an unending way, then he's going to reap the world and reap the world, and he'll keep reaping the world and reaping the world. If a man sows to friendship, he'll reap friendship. This word right here says, if you want a friend, you must first be a friend. Sow to it, that's what you'll reap. If we sow to the gospel, we will reap the gospel. If we take what the Lord has given us and sow to the Spirit, we will reap the Spirit. We truly will. It's the promise of the Lord. What are the things of the Spirit? Chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance." I want that. I do. Don't you want joy and love, peace? That's what we all want. We want the love of God. We want the joy in this word. We want this word to bring joy to our hearts. When nothing else does, we want to come in here and find peace with God, peace with His people. That's what we all want. Back in chapter 6, verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Everything that He has mentioned to us so far is well-doing. Doing what's good and right according to the Word of God. And He's saying, if you restore a brother, you'll have a brother. You'll have a true brother. You help others bear their burdens, and they'll help you bear yours. We have plenty of burdens, don't we? Plenty of burdens. You desire the gospel, you sow towards it, you'll reap the gospel. Everything, though, is going to be in his due season. Everything is at his time. So this is what he's telling them. Don't faint. Don't faint. Keep going. Press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. The Lord has revealed the gospel of salvation to us. He has revealed his will concerning us. And he says, be a doer of it. And press toward the mark. And don't faint. And keep going. And sow toward the things of the Spirit. Verse 10, he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I like what Spurgeon said about this verse. He said, do good unto all men. All men. No matter where they are, no matter who they are, do good unto all men. But our brethren in Christ, they have a first claim upon us. Our brethren ought to come first. They are our nearest of kin. Let them have a Benjamin's portion. You know what that means? You remember that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. And God raised him up to be a ruler in Egypt. And then God sent a famine in the land. And his brothers had to go to Egypt and beg food from Joseph. He gave food to all of them. But if you go back there and read it, it says he gave five times as much to Benjamin. He gave something to all of them, but he poured it on Benjamin five times as much. As Christ has been so kind to us, so, so kind and generous to us, may we be that way towards each other. May God truly, truly, I mean in practice, in heart, give us that exact way with each other for his sake, for Christ's sake. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are continually overtaken in a fault. Continually. May our Lord give us a heart to never, ever stop restoring and loving each other. I don't want to ever stop loving you. I don't. I don't want it to ever be over. I really don't. I don't want us to go our separate ways. I don't want us to divide. I want us to stay like this unto glory. And we'll never come apart in Christ. May God give us that front of our minds. Let's restore each other. Let's love each other. For Christ's sake. Okay, let's all stand together.